Cincinnati. One of the things that you hear a lot at graduations and this time of year is, today is what? The first day of the rest of your life. And you know, I think about that, it's like, you know what? Tomorrow is also the first day of the rest of your life, right? I always thought, how, you know, I know what they mean by it. It seems kind of silly, though, to say it. But here's something we have to understand, is that every day with the Lord is new and fresh. Amen. He's always guiding us. He's always directing us. And so really, every day we should be excited about what God has for us. And here's something else you have to understand. From now to the end of your life, you are constantly going to have to make adjustments in your life in order to act in obedience to the will of God. You ever think about that? You're going to have to be making adjustments, because just when you think, it's like, okay, I have it down, here's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. How many of you have had to change that? You know, even in college, how many of you thought, you know, when you go to college, I've got my major, and this is what I'm going to do. How many of you that went to college changed your major a couple of times? Most people do. I didn't even have one for 2 years. They finally sat me down. You heard me say this before. The registrar said, Dwayne, you got to decide. Why they let me go 2 years, I have no idea. Maybe they were a small school and wanted my money. I don't know. And so I knew what God wanted me to do. I just was balking at him, and I had to make the adjustment. But all of your life is, because as you see just how God wants to adjust your character, you have to allow him to do it. Look at the passage that we read this morning. You know, the guys have been out fishing. They were fishing all night. And for those of you who have worked all night, in the morning, you're beat, right? What's that? And grumpy. You know, so here these guys were, they're washing their nets, and usually along with that, they're mending their nets. And Art asked me before church, he's like, well, why do they have to wash their nets? It's a great question. Debris and all this kind of stuff will get in there, and they have to actually wash them out to get all the junk out of them. And they also inspect their nets to see if there's tears or anything like that, and so they can fix them. And it's quite a process for them to do that. And then they would lay them out to dry, because if they leave them wet, what's going to happen? They're going to get rotten. So they have to dry them out. Now, they're in the process of doing this when Jesus comes up, and he's got a lot of people to speak to, and they're pressing in on him, and he's like, hey, you know, I got this great idea. I'm going to step in the boat and have them take me out a little ways from shore. Then people aren't going to press in, and I can talk to everybody. So he asked Peter this, and so they get out there, and they get in their boats, and he put out a little ways from land, verse 3 there, and he's teaching. So they have to, you know, keep the boat there. What aren't they doing in the meantime? They're not able to wash their nets because Jesus is in the boat, and they got to make sure the boat doesn't drift off and all this kind of stuff. So, and Jesus, you know, a lot of his teaching went on for quite a while. And so, yeah, I can see them, you know, they're exhausted and they're waiting for Jesus to get done. But here's something you have to understand, is that most of us would be frustrated with this, and Peter might have been. But if you read in the text a little earlier, not too much before this, Peter's mother-in-law had been sick, and Jesus healed her in Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. You know, he healed her and didn't, you know, there's some experiences that that Peter had with Jesus prior to this. And really, at this point, Peter and the other guys, they've been a disciple of Jesus for a while. We don't know exactly how long, but we know for sure that they would have witnessed the events of starting in John chapter 1, verse, 41, all the way at least through chapter 4 of John. So they had traveled with him. They had, you know, they were, you know, John chapter 3 and the teaching with Nicodemus. They were with Jesus during that time. In John chapter 4, when they went through Samaria on their way up to Galilee, and the whole teaching with, you know, the thing with the Samaritan woman and all of that, they had at least seen all of those things as well. And so they've been walking with Jesus for a while, but it seems like it was part-time. They would go with him for a while, and then they would go off and fish or do other things. And so it wasn't like he was just first introduced to Jesus. He had some background with him. He has already been walking with him, and so had the other guys. By the way, he would have seen Jesus turn water into wine, the first cleansing of the temple. He would have seen that as well. And so that gives us a little background. He wasn't just newly introduced to Jesus. But now Jesus asks him, Jesus steps into Peter's area of expertise. Fishing. Peter knew fishing. They've been fishing all night. How much have they caught? Nothing. Anyone been in that boat? Yeah. You know, you go out fishing expecting a grand catch, and you come back, and you know all you've done is drown worms. You know, we've been there. So, but Peter, you know, verse 5 says, you know, Jesus says, you know, go out into the deep water and let nets down for a catch. Peter says, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your bidding, I'll let down the nets. You know, he'd seen enough of Jesus. He's like, okay, he's the master. I'll do what he says. But you kind of get the vibe here. He's not real happy about the idea, because he's probably already done some of the cleaning of his nets, and now he's going to have to start all over again. You know, all of this kind of stuff. And so he lets it out there, and he's like, you know, it okay, we'll do it, Lord. They drop the nets, and all of a sudden the nets are jam-packed with fish. God caused a great catch of fish, and it had nothing to do with Peter and James and John's fishing abilities. Nothing to do with that. They caught a tremendous amount of fish. Now, stop there. We tend to try to do things on our own expertise, right? God wants us to rely on His expertise, His ability, His strength. We've talked about this in weeks past, so I'm not going to belabor that, but just bear that in mind. Now, here's something. Verses 8 and 9, if they had any doubts at this point, they're astounded, and they are beginning to realize who he is. When Simon Peter saw that, when he saw all the fish, the boats were starting to sink, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What does he know about Jesus? At this point, he's coming to the realization that Jesus is God, because nobody else can do this. And when we realize this, it leads to a keen awareness of our own sinfulness and unworthiness. Every time you see someone confronted with an angel or with the pre-incarnate Christ or whatever, in the Old Testament, they all fall down in worship. They all are terrified because of their own sinfulness. And he's recognizing his own sinfulness as he's before God. And they were also amazed at his power. Why? Because Jesus didn't have a greater knowledge of fishing than they did. Well, he did, but that's not what he relied on. He was able to command the fish. Now, again, how many of you fishermen would like to have that ability? It's a good thing you don't, because we'd mess all that stuff up, wouldn't we? But he controlled the fish. They knew at that time of day they shouldn't be catching fish, let alone that many. So they knew God had directed the fish. And here's something. Jesus used what they knew to redirect them. He said, all right, guys, now you know who I am. You know the authority that I have. Instead of catching these fish, you're going to fish for men. Things are changing. It's now time to fish. You're going to be catching men. Look at verse 10. Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. You know, before they had been following Jesus, it seemed like they'd go for a while and then back. And it seems like from this point on, they were committed. And the rest of their time, there was no back and forth. They were following Christ completely. And here's the thing, their willingness to go was not dependent upon their abilities, but on the power of the one who had called them. They knew who he was, at least they were coming to grips with that. They would waver in that over the coming years. And even later on, after he rose from the dead, it says, there's a passage that says some of them still doubted a little bit. But what it did is it made them abandon everything and follow him. They left the fish and the money that would have come from it. And as far as we know, they never fished again. At least it's not recorded. They never fished again until after Christ rose from the dead and he'd send them back up to Galilee to wait for him. And in John chapter 21, they're sitting there, they don't have anything to do, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. Typical guy, right? Says, I'm going fishing. And when he does that, what happens? They see someone on the shore, and he says, cast your nets on the other side of the boat, and what happens? The nets are loaded with fish, and Peter says, I know who this is, and he jumps out of the boat, and he swims ashore, and he gets up there. And he was all in. They were amazed at who he was. They adjusted their life to him. And you see, that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to serve him wherever he has us, to be fully committed and to constantly be growing in him. And some people he calls to other places. Some people he calls to stay put. And you know what? He calls us to be faithful. Amen. That's what he wants us to do. I'm going to read something to you. It's about Hudson Taylor, the great man of prayer and faith. He responded to God's call to go to China as a missionary. Because his father had already died, he had to leave his widowed mother to go to China. By the end of his life in 1905, he had been used by God to found the China Inland Mission. There were 205 preaching stations, 849 missionaries, and 125,000 Chinese Christians. A testimony of a life absolutely surrendered to God. Hudson Taylor described something of the cost he and his mother experienced as he obeyed God's will to go to China as a missionary. And here's what he wrote. My beloved, now sainted mother, had come to see me off from Liverpool. Never shall I forget that day, nor how she went with me into the little cabin that was to be my home for nearly 6 long months. It was going to take him 6 months to sail to China. With a mother's loving hand, she smoothed the little bed. She sat by my side and joined me in the last hymn that we should sing together before the long parting. We knelt down and she prayed the last mother's prayer I was to hear before starting for China. Then notice was given that we must separate. And we had to say goodbye, never expecting to meet on earth again. For my sake, she restrained her feelings as much as possible. We parted, and she went on shore, giving me her blessing. I stood alone on deck, and she followed the ship as we moved toward the dock gates. As we passed through the gates, and the separation really commenced, I shall never forget the cry of anguish wrung from that mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I never knew so fully until then what God so loved the world meant. And I am quite sure that my precious mother learned more of the love of God to the perishing in that hour than in all her life before. Praise God, the number is increasing who are finding out the exceeding joys, the wondrous revelations of his mercies vouchsafed to those who follow him and emptying themselves, leave all in obedience to his great commission. Now, we read that and we think, man, that was awesome, that was great. But how many of us are called to do what Hudson Taylor did? To leave our family and to go to the ends of the earth and serve the Lord? Most of us aren't. But is the truth that is conveyed here any different for us? The surrender, the commitment to the Lord to do whatever he wants? It's not different. It's the same commitment. David Livingstone, who went to Africa, said this. He said, "Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any tie but the tie that binds me to thyself." You see, one thing we have to understand here is that, yes, young people, sometimes they go out and to other places, or they stay and they serve the Lord where they're at. But parents, once they're adults, and God calls them to wherever or whatever, we have to be okay with it. We have to let them serve God, and we have to be behind them, even if it hurts sometimes, right? That's what we have to be willing to do. Is it easy? Not always. It's not always easy. By the way, Hudson Taylor did get to see his mother again. He wasn't sure if he would, but he did. And you know what? You can read about it, the book in the library, about Hudson Taylor's life. It's a paperback. Great read. He got to see her again, and she was so excited to hear about what God was doing in China. You know why? Because she had been on her knees the whole time, praying for her son, that she didn't know if she was going to see him again this side of heaven. But that's what he was called to do. And even though it meant great separation for her, it meant a great, great opportunity for the gospel to be shared. And by the way, Connie's not here today because she's in China. I think she's, what, a fourth generation believer? because these guys were faithful to go to China. Think about that. Someone in her own midst was impacted by the ministry of these guys. We never know how God's going to use us. And young people, you never know what God's going to do in your life. But surrender your life to Him and get excited, because He's going to do something that you never expect. Whether it's here or wherever, you know, just be willing to serve Him and love Him and grow in Him. And that's really for all of us. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for the way You serve all of us by working in our lives, by changing us, and then, Lord, calling us to service as well. And You've done that. And, Lord, I pray that with our young people today, that they would have hearts that are surrendered to You. No matter what occupation You call them to, no matter where they're located, Father, use them for Your glory and Your honor. And Lord, I pray that You would mold them and shape them into the image of Your Son. And Lord, we thank You for being able to be part of encouraging them as they walk with You. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be faithful to do the same. And Lord, we thank You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, you're all welcome.